Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to teach us and to guide us into all truth. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may see clearly that which you have called us to in Christ Jesus our Lord. Help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of your word only, but to be doers as well, so that our profiting may appear to all men. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 68. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the topic, God has a supply for you daily, or he has a daily supply for you. In other words, God, your Father, has prepared blessings for you every single day of your life. Therefore, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. You don't need to take thoughts for tomorrow. Because when tomorrow comes, tomorrow will be today then. And Jesus, as we shared the last time, and as we all know very clearly in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said we should look to the Father for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't teach us to say, give us today our bread for tomorrow. You won't find that in Scripture. In fact, Jesus said, we should live one day at a time. Take no thought for tomorrow, because sufficient for today is the evil thereof. In other words, just take it one day at a time and trust in God and depend on God for your daily supply. If we obey the instructions of Jesus, we'll take the stress out of our lives. Many of us succumb to stress because of our disobedience where the word of God is concerned. None of us has been designed with or in such a way that we can carry the burdens of this life. None of us. That is why Jesus said we should bring those burdens to him. The burdens are designed by the enemy to overwhelm us. And if we try to carry them on our own, we will truly be overwhelmed. But when we learn to take those things to Jesus by faith and prayer, we will be relieved of those pressures and those burdens, and we will enjoy the peace that Jesus has brought for us in the midst of all the troubles of life. You see, the peace of God passes all understanding, Bible says. And it has the ability to keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ, so that the troubles of this world don't trouble any of us. And then the people of the world will be able to notice the difference very clearly. And that will be one of the greatest ways of advertising the gospel of Jesus without us even speaking. Because people will notice the difference. They will see that the Christians are not troubled like they are troubled. And they will be able to come and ask us for the reason why we are not as troubled as they are troubled, and we are in the same world as they are. Then we'll be able to tell them that there is the peace of God in us that is greater than the trouble that is in the world. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so what is in the world has no capacity to overcome any of us because of the peace of God that is in us. The strength of God in us is giving us the ability to walk in victory over everything that is contrary to us in this world. And these are the things we need to understand, and we need to apply to our lives on a daily basis as Christians. So, as Christians, we have the potential to walk in victory in every situation of life. Okay, so we did share all those things the last time, and today we are going to be looking at the aspect of the hindrances to our receiving the supply God has for us on a daily basis. Again, don't worry about tomorrow. Just take it one day at a time. God has already prepared for you everything you need for each day of your life, even before you were formed in your mother's womb. God actually, Bible says, prepared all those things for us from the foundation of the world. And if you study your Bible very closely in Romans chapter 8, and then you look at Ephesians, the very first two chapters of Ephesians, you will see the Bible teaches us that God actually had a foreknowledge of us. He predestined us even from the foundation of the world, and he chose us from the foundation of the world to be his own because he had foreknowledge of every one of us. He knew how we would accept the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ by believing on Jesus and becoming the children of God even before he made Adam. God knew all these things. He knew that Adam was going to sin, and yet he proceeded to make Adam. But before that, he provided the solution for sin. Bible says Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. And you and I know at the foundation of the world, man had not been made yet, because God created everything else before he made man. Man was the last creation of God. And so God knew Adam was going to sin, and he provided the solution for sin before he created Adam. So that's why as Christians, when we really understand the God that we serve, the God that we have as our Father, nothing, absolutely nothing will worry us in this world. We will take it one day at a time and take all the stresses away from us and walk in the peace of God and enjoy the kingdom of heaven while we are here on earth. We don't need to wait for the sweet by and by before we begin to enjoy the peace of God and all those other blessings of the kingdom. Let us by faith possess the kingdom right now on a daily basis. And so, what are the hindrances? As we were sharing the last time, God has the supply for us. So the problem is never from God. God has the supply. And the supply of God is more than enough. So the problem is not from the supplier, God. And the problem is not with the supply, because the supply is adequate. God had foreknowledge. He knew the challenges you and I will go through on a daily basis. He provided the supply for us to overcome every one of them, whether we are talking about spiritual challenges, emotional challenges, physical challenges, family challenges, challenges on our job, challenges in our businesses, challenges in our career, challenges in all areas of life. Bible talks about everything that pertains to life and godliness. God has already provided for us the supernatural supply that we need for each one of them. So we just have to understand responsibility and do our own side of the covenant agreement. God never fails on his side. Say to your neighbor, God has a supply for you today that is sufficient for you in all aspects of life. Amen. So when you wake up in the morning, remember God has a supply for you for that day. And his supply is sufficient for you, because he knows everything you need in all aspects of life to walk in the blessings of the kingdom and enjoy the victory that Jesus has purchased for you for that day. Don't worry about tomorrow. If you bring tomorrow into today, you will confuse yourself and you will grieve the Holy Spirit in you. Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of obedience. Every time we disobey God, we grieve him. So we need to be sensitive. He has feelings. If he tells you don't worry about tomorrow, and then you sit down all day long worrying about tomorrow, you are grieving the Spirit of God in you. You are taking him through an experience that he doesn't want, because it's in you. You are the temple of God. You have to take the Holy Spirit in you through the experiences that he wants. And those experiences are the things written in the Holy Scriptures, because he wrote them by the finger of God. These things were written because the Holy Spirit moved upon the prophets to declare them, and those who wrote these scriptures down, the Holy Spirit was upon them, moving them to write them as the pen of the ready writer. So we have to understand all these things and simply take up responsibility. So therefore, if the supplier is okay and the supply is okay, so where do we run into problems? It is on our own side, never on God's side. It is on my side and on your side. And that's why we want to look very closely at these hindrances and break them down so that we can clearly understand responsibility and be watchful and be vigilant so that we don't allow the enemy to sneak in on us and rob us of the supply that God has for us on a daily basis. The devil is the thief. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he uses many cunning ways to rob us even without us knowing. That's why we have to wake up and get understanding and wisdom from the word of God so that we can always be steps ahead of the devil. All right, therefore, let us begin to look at those hindrances one by one. The number one hindrance that we want to talk about is unbelief. 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 And don't think that because you are a Christian, you are automatically a believer. Again, remember, it's a daily thing. Every day you need to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I may do it right today. Then when tomorrow comes, it's another day. If I don't do it right tomorrow, which then is another day, I may miss the mark then. So it's a daily thing. Don't ever forget that it's a daily thing. Every day you live by the word of God. Every day you walk by faith. Because if you don't do so that particular day, you are going to miss out on the supply that God has for you. And it will be your fault and not God's fault. So unbelief. Let us turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, before we do that, just for some of us to not get this complacent way of thinking on board our lives. Turn with me quickly to Mark chapter 16, because we have these cliches that we all wrong with many times, but they are not very sound scripturally. You know, for instance, you probably have heard, oh, once a believer, always a believer. We've all probably said that at one time or the other, but it's not true. It's not scriptural. Once a believer, not always a believer. Once a believer, every day you have to prove yourself to be a believer. That's a better way to put it, so that you can learn that there is a responsibility. You can't just relax and then become careless. Every time we relax or get complacent, the devil will gain the upper hand against us. We see many examples in the Bible. David was a man after God's heart. Isn't that so? God chose him. God sent his prophet to go and anoint him to be the one to replace Saul. And then David fought many battles and had many victories because God was always with him. He inquired of the Lord many times and God gave him victory. But don't you realize that there were times when in the midst of all the victories he had experienced, he became a bit complacent and he ran into problems. For instance, Bible records that there was a time when kings went to war, but David sat back at home. He should have gone to war too. The reason why God specifically said that it was the period when kings went to war was for us to realize David was at the wrong place. And that was how he committed adultery with the wife of Uriah. Remember? He became complacent. And at another time, remember, after he had had so much victory, one day he called his army leader, let's put it that way, the head of his army. And he said, well, go and take census of the people. And that one told him, what do you want the census for? God has given you so many victories. What? No, he said, just go and count them. You know, pride sets in now. And plague came upon the land because of the mistake he made. The Bible tells us that Satan provoked David to take the census. He was careless now. And the devil sneaked in on him. And that's the truth concerning every one of us. Every time we become complacent where responsibility or our responsibility is concerned, the devil will sneak in on us. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Say to your neighbor, be sober, be vigilant. Keep your eyes and your heart on the word of God and ensure that you walk by faith or obedience. Amen. As long as we do that, the devil will have no place. We are the ones that give the devil place. Bible says give no place to him. So we can't blame him. We have to blame ourselves for giving him the place. So in Mark chapter 16, we see this clearly. These were the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. These were the people who were with Jesus right from the beginning of his ministry. They heard every sermon that Jesus preached. They saw every miracle that Jesus performed. They sat down at the dinner table with Jesus. They knew everything that Jesus had to teach them. But look at what happened. They were even commissioned by Jesus to be a people that will go into all the world and make disciples of the nations for him. But look at what the Bible says here. And we all know also after his resurrection, how all of them, without exception, every one of them doubted. Even the people that came and said, well, Jesus has risen from the dead. Bible says they looked at Mary, including Peter the rock. Peter looked at Mary and said, well, this woman is just an I-do. An I-do person. Just telling an I-do tale. What are you talking about? Resurrect who? Who? We are resurrect what? The same Peter that said, Jesus? You can count on me. Now, it's even not believing what Jesus said. Because if any one of them believed, they should have gone to Galilee to wait for Jesus. Remember? He told them what to do. But not one of them went to Galilee. Not one of them. None of them went there. They never believed. And yet they heard all his sermons. They were supposed to be believers. But now they are unbelieving believers. Like many of us in the church today. So don't just say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I have the badge on my chest. I'm a believer. No, it's not about the badge on your chest. It's about the choices you make on a daily basis to show yourself as one who truly believes God. Or maybe you are just a doubter. So it's a choice. Now look at what Jesus, what Bible says here. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. You see, there were 11 now instead of 12 because Judas had committed suicide. He was one of them. There were 12 that he appointed, but minus one now. So, Bible says Jesus appeared unto them because they were the people that were with him from the beginning of the ministry. We know that at the time Jesus died, there were some other disciples also. Remember, at the time he sent out 70? But he only appeared to these ones because they are the ones that were with him from the very beginning. They knew everything. And now he had to rebuke them for their unbelief. How come you are lying unbelief into yourself, into your heart? Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So say to yourself, I must not be complacent. I must not take it for granted that because I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a believer automatically. Amen. So we have to work out our salvation on a daily basis. All right, so now let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. So the first hindrance to our receiving the daily supply that God has for us is unbelief. Again, I'm emphasizing the supplier is okay. No fault with the supplier. That's God himself. And the supply is okay. No fault with the supply because God never fails to keep his promises. So the fault is on my side and on your side. And if we will just examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, we'll be able to get rid of these little foxes that spoil the vine and just throw them away from us and not allow those hindrances to make us to fall short of what God has prepared for us. So Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. We know the scripture very well, but let's look at it again. Hebrews 3, 18 and 19. Let's go. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In other words, unbelief was the hindrance to them experiencing God's plan for their lives. God's plan in taking them from Egypt was to take them to the promised land. God didn't plan to take them from Egypt and abandon them midway in the journey. God planned for them to be taken from Egypt as he already promised their father Abraham and put them in the land of promise. But because they did not believe God, that generation that left Egypt with Moses, the older ones, never made it to the promised land. Not one of them except Joshua and Caleb. Because they had a different spirit. God's plan was to get every one of them in. But only two of them made the right choices. Joshua and Caleb. All the rest made the wrong choices. And they never got in there because of unbelief. Not because of God, but because of unbelief. So unbelief can hinder you and I too from experiencing what God has planned for our lives. And that's why we have to be careful. We have to be careful. So unbelief hindered them. Also, Mark chapter 6. So add that scripture to that number one hindrance. Hebrews 3, 18 and 19. And Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Unbelief will hinder every one of us, even though we speak in tongues. If you don't believe God's word in any area of your life where you need help from God, you cannot receive the help. Not because God has not given it or supplied it, but you are not receiving it because of the unbelief. So the hindrance, or let's put it this way, the best illustration I can give to you is that if you look at a pipe, maybe a water pipe, bringing water into your home. The water is coming from the waterworks supplying to everybody's home. Now, if for any reason your own pipe is blocked, you are not going to get water in your house. Not because of the water supply, but because there's a blockage in your own pipe. So you have to take the blockage out for the water to flow into your house. So God is supplying to all on a daily basis. That's the kind of God that we have. He never fails to supply. Even the best of the head, they get their supply from God. They wake up in the morning and sing beautiful song. They don't complain. They trust God will feed them. And they never fail to find food for that day. So God has supply for every one of us. So if I don't receive the supply, it is because there's a blockage somewhere in my home receiver. I need to get rid of that blockage so that my receiver can connect with the supply that God has for me. And here in Mark chapter 6, we see that unbelief is a hindrance again, verses 5 and 6. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And they marveled because of their unbelief. And they went round about the villages teaching. In other words, unbelief hindered them from receiving from Jesus. Jesus went there to minister to all of them, but only a few could receive from him because only the few had faith in him. The others actually were looking at him and wondering, is this not the same Jesus? Is this not Joseph's son? The carpenter's son? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? How can he now say he's a prophet? Where did he come from? We know him. Now he's saying he's from God. But he's a carpenter. And they miss God. Oh, unbelief is a hindrance. So avoid it. Number two hindrance is doubt or double-mindedness. Doubt and double-mindedness differ from unbelief in the sense that you start in faith, but then you give up midway. Unbelief means you don't believe. You are like, I just can't see how the word of God will come to pass for me in this situation. It's too late. It's like Martha said, if only you had come. If only you had come early enough, then my brother would not have died. In other words, it's too late now. Jesus, why did you delay? I know you have the power to heal, but because you are too late, my brother has died. And therefore, it's all ended now. And Jesus said, no, it's not ended. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. If something was dead, if I show up there, that thing will come back to life because I'm the author of life. And he had to challenge Martha to change her faith and line it up with God. He said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And thank God Martha said, yes, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ that should come, the Son of God. And that put her back in the place of faith. And so the miracle could happen with Lazarus. So you and I have to understand these things. Don't become double-minded. Just keep on in your walk of faith and don't walk by sight. Don't lean on your own understanding. Just keep trusting in God until the end. James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. So don't start out in faith and then begin to doubt later. Start in faith and continue in faith until the very end. And you will never miss out on the supply that God has for you day by day in Jesus' name. James 1, let's read together verse 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's the problem with double-mindedness. One moment, I believe God. The next moment, I'm not so sure. One moment, I believe my miracle is on the way. The next moment, I'm wondering how long now. That's double-mindedness. And Bible says a double-minded person or somebody that is wavering will never receive anything from the Lord. Not that God has not supplied, but the person cannot receive because they are not getting themselves in the position where they ought to be in order to receive from God, which is called the position of faith. If you move your ground from faith ground to another ground, you are not going to get the supply. Because God doesn't send it to the wrong address, as we shared the last time. The angels that bring the blessings from heaven, as God showed, remember God showed Jacob when he saw the ladder, and angels coming up and down from heaven. That's not fable. It's a real thing that is happening in the invisible realm. God just opened his eyes to see that in that dream. Angels come from God to us every day, bringing the supply. But because they don't find us at the right address, they take the supply and wondering, where is he now? Where is he? Where has he gone? They can't take it elsewhere. They don't redirect to another address. Remember, even these days, sometimes you see the postman will tell you on the letter, don't redirect. If they try to deliver and you are not at that address, they just return back. They won't redirect to somewhere else. The angels don't redirect because they have no permission to make decision for themselves. So when God sends them and says, take this to that person at the address called faith. If that person moves away from the address called faith and is now in the address called doubt, they can't receive. So the person missed out because they were not at the right address called faith. So once we understand it that way, there won't be any problem. So nothing wavering, because when we waver, we are not going to get anything from God. Also, Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 31 is the account of Peter that I shared with you a short while ago. So you read it up again. Because one moment is walking on water, the next moment is looking at the storm, then he became double-minded at that point. And Jesus told him that, why did you doubt? Because after I began to sink, he cried to the Lord, and Jesus picked him out of the water and told him, why did you doubt? In other words, how come you allow double-mindedness to come in? You are doing right just now. How come you change your mind? Because you took your eyes off of me and you looked to the storm. Number three, hindrance to our receiving from God is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Many of us don't pay attention to this. And the devil sneaks in on us through this gateway of unforgiveness. He's the same one that will keep telling you, don't forgive them. Oh, remember how they hurt you. Oh, you have to find a way of hurting them back, you know. Now they have put you in this condition and they are enjoying their own life. You have to show them that you are not a fool. Strike them back. Let them feel the pain too. Give it to them just as they have given it to you. Give them good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. But you know when you do that, you are going to end up missing your own supply from God. The devil is just trying to rob you. You have to understand that whatsoever anybody does against you, God will deal with them. You must not take the law into your own hands, because you are going to miss your own supply from God. You just obey God and let God deal with the enemy. In fact, the Bible says that when your enemy hunger, you feed them, you are heaping coals of fire on them. Isn't that so? Because God will avenge you. You are obeying God. You'll be in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. Unforgiveness, Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. And Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Quickly, let's look at those scriptures. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Jesus said, when we stand praying, in other words, if you are praying and you have unforgiveness, you are just wasting your time. You can pray for 10 hours, you are not getting anything from God. It's better for you to just obey God, forgive, and your prayers will be answered. All right. Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. Let's read together. Let's go. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Notice, if you don't forgive, then God says, I don't forgive you too. Now, if God has not forgiven you, he treats you like a sinner. And you and I know that sinners don't have inheritance in the everlasting kingdom, Bible says. So you are not going to be able to receive from that kingdom of heaven because of unforgiveness. Quickly, Matthew chapter 6. That's why we have to understand all these things and be sober and be vigilant. Don't let the enemy, that's the devil, and your flesh get you to disobey God's word and miss out on the supply God has for you in your own life. verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go together. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. And remember, he taught this along with what we call the Lord's Prayer. So if I don't forgive, God treats me like an unbeliever and I cannot receive from him. Number four hindrance to receiving our supply from God is impatience. In other words, lack of patience. Patience is not a word many people have in their vocabulary these days. We are living in a generation where everything must move fast. People don't want to be patient anymore. They just want quick fix. Everything quick, everything quick, everything quick. Fast food, fast this, quick checkout, quick this, quick that. But you know what? God has not changed. God is still the same God. He hasn't changed. He's still in the business of taking his time to do everything he does. And that's where many of us as Christians run into problems these days. Because we are bringing the mentality of the world into our dealings with God. But God has not changed. God is still saying, with faith and patience. With faith and patience. But I'm saying, no, I can't be patient. I want it now. God says, then you can't receive it because the rule for receiving from me is faith and patience. And so as Christians, let us wake up and understand the ways of God are higher than our ways, not like the ways of this world. In front of that, Hebrews 10, 36 and Hebrews 6, verses 12 to 15. Quickly, let's look at those. Just get rid of impatience in your life and understand that you need to wait patiently for God to perform his word. When Abraham was impatient, he produced Ishmael. But he learned from that mistake and then he became patient in order to receive Isaac. That's the way to do it. Be patient and trust God that he will not fail and he will never be late. His timing is better than our own timing. Hebrews 10:36. Let's go together. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Again, the key to receiving is patience. After you have done the will of God, in other words, after you have had faith, the will of God is for you to have faith in him. After you've said, I've believed God and I'm standing my ground in the world, God says you still need patience so that you can receive it. Chapter 6, Hebrews, verses 12 to 15. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. In other words, he received it after patience. Not without patience. In other words, he needed patience to receive Isaac. And so you need patience to receive your supply from God. Number five. Hindrance to our receiving from God is selfishness or unloving. What I mean by unloving is something that does not have the foundation of love in your seeking for it before God. Because God searches the hearts. If what you are asking God for is not wrapped with love, you are not going to receive it. Because God is love. He cannot supply anything that contradicts his nature. So selfishness, and you and I know Bible says selfishness is of lust, not of love. It's not one of the things that love has in its own characteristics. If you study 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Bible says love is not selfish. So if you are seeking things based on selfishness from God, you will not be able to receive from him. James chapter 4 verse 3, and then Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, and also Psalm 24 verses 3 to 5. Quickly, let's look at those scriptures, and then we'll look at the final one and pray. James chapter 4, we were in James a short while ago, but now we go to chapter 4 of the same book and see how Bible tells us that if the motive is wrong, we cannot receive what we ask for because of that bad motive in our hearts. No love, no God. It's as simple as that, because God is love. Verse 3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Lust is the opposite of love. Lust is selfish. What I want. I don't care about anybody else. Even if I need to sacrifice you to get what I want, I will sacrifice you. That's how it is in the world. When people lust for things, they can climb all over your head to get it. They don't even care about whether you become bald-headed in the process. They just want what they want. That's selfishness. That's not the way of God. They call it rat race. God has not called you to a rat race. You're a child of God. You have to run the race of faith. That's the race of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All right then. So that's that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Let's look at that also. Thank God for Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I love that. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. They will see God. In other words, the heart that is pure has connection with God. So what happens when the heart is not pure? It cannot connect with God. And the word translated pure there literally means clean. It's the same thing David was praying for in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart. In other words, a heart that is free from anything that is iniquity in the sight of God. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Iniquity is simply anything that is not of the nature of God. In other words, my heart must be free from anything that is not of the nature of God in order to see God. Because if I'm contrary to the nature of God, how can I receive from him? I'm already against him. I'm not in flow with him. I'm not in line with him to receive the supply coming from him. I'm at a strange location. And Psalm 24, Old Testament, New Testament, both of them are saying exactly the same thing. No difference, because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 5. And also to that particular point of selfishness, just add the scripture I quoted in passing a short while ago, Psalm 66, verse 18. Now, Psalm 24, verses 3 to 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sown deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So if you are going to receive the blessing from the Lord, that's the way you are going to get it. Pure heart, clean hands. In other words, don't go against the nature of God in your heart and in your life, and hope to receive from him. You're not going to get it. That's why those people in James chapter 4, they asked, they prayed, maybe they even prayed through the night, but they didn't receive anything from the Lord because the heart was not right. Blessed are the pure in heart. They are the ones that will see God. Finally, number 6, hindrance. I put this number 6 last deliberately because most of us put this number 6 first. And it is wrong to put this number 6 first. This number 6 is an opportunist. He has no power of his own, but he takes advantage of our disobedience. Because he is the spirit of disobedience himself. Bible says, give no place to him. He cannot take any place unless you give it to him. That's why I'm putting him bottom of the list. Don't put him number 1. He has no power because Jesus already disarmed him. But it takes advantage of our own disobedience. That's all. If God says I should forgive and I don't forgive, then the devil will come in because I give him place. Because if I forgive in obedience to God, the devil has no place. Remember, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. No room for him because I'm obeying the Father. Many of us in the church today, we magnify the devil even above God. We talk about the devil more than we talk about God. And yet the Bible tells us greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How come we are not talking about the greater one? You see, the devil is very cunning. We are the ones giving him the advantage. Let's wake up. So the number 6 hindrance is Satan. I'm using the word Satan rather than the devil. They mean the same thing, but Satan helps us to understand that it's our adversary. The word Satan means someone opposed to you. When God created him, he was called Lucifer. But when he rebelled against God, he became Satan, an adversary. And Bible describes him as our adversary. So, he is our hindrance. Number 6 hindrance. But only when we give him place. Now, turn with me. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Oh, he will come, he will show up, just like he came to Jesus in the wilderness, in the temptation, remember? But if you walk in obedience to God, when the devil comes, then he will go. He will not be able to succeed in his plan. God won't stop him from coming to you. God won't stop him from trying to hinder you, because God knows that as long as you walk by faith, you will overcome him. With the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16, you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Isn't that so? Remember when the devil planned to sift Peter like a wheat or like wheat? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. In other words, the devil has no power. When you live by faith, your faith will overcome him. But when you don't obey God's word, then you give place to the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you see what the devil did even to the great apostle Paul here. But we all know that this same hindrance that came to Paul did not stop Paul from accomplishing the will of God in that particular place. Ultimately, the devil came to hinder him, but God used that as a plan to get things done in some other places and then get it done eventually in that same place where the devil was trying to hinder Paul from preaching the gospel. Verse 18, please, when you get home, study that passage, you know, more in depth. Take the verses before the verse that we are looking at, and then you'll understand it better. All right. So, Thessalonians, I said that's where we're going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Let's go. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. Please underline that in your Bible. He hindered us from coming at that particular time, but he couldn't hinder us from coming eventually. So we couldn't go at that time only because, that's my own paraphrase now, only because that was not the time for us to go. So the devil was able to hinder us then because God permitted him so. Remember, he went to Job. Did God not permit him and give him the barrier as to what? So the devil's hindrance against you and I can never succeed when we are living by faith. It can only work out the purpose of God. I've heard of people that should have got involved in accident and they would have died along with other people. But somehow, they were hindered from traveling by some problem with the devil caused. And that was how they were saved from death. I remember one particular man back in Nigeria that was dressed up, ready to go to the airport. And this particular day, the wife just stood up and gave him a dirty slap. Out of the blues. That never happened before. The woman was a very gentle woman. Gentle wife. Just slapped the husband. Ah! And the man said, what? And dropped his luggage. Ah! And grabbed the wife. And they went into a tussle. And the commotion lasted for a while. And because of that, by the time he eventually got his luggage and ran to the airport, he missed the flight. But then that flight crashed. He would have died. So he went back home shaking. And he called his wife. He said, come and slap me more. Come and slap me more. Before he was quarreling with the wife, was slapping him. He didn't know God was saving him from death. And I said, hey, please come, slap me more. God have mercy. So he was hindered by Satan, who caused trouble in his home. But that hindrance worked out the purpose of God to save him from death. So say to your neighbor, whenever the devil comes to hinder you, God permits him only according to his own purpose. Amen. You see, the hindrance the devil caused to Job turned the blessings of Job into double fold. Isn't that so? We thank God for that. So finally, let's look at Daniel chapter 10. This will drive it home some more. So what do we then need to do? When the devil shows up to hinder us, just continue in faith. That's all. You don't need any other thing. Don't magnify the devil. Don't waste time trying to battle him. No. Just continue in faith, because with the shield of faith, you quench all the fiery dart of the wicked one. Ephesians 6:16 and also 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 and verse 9, Bible says, you just be sober, be vigilant. The adversary, the devil, is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye by being steadfast in the faith. Many of us spend too much time trying to fight the devil. No. You spend more time building your faith up and you find out that the devil has no place. The shield of faith quenches all the fiery dart. Jesus prayed for the faith of Peter. Many of us in that situation will spend hours binding the devil. Oh devil, thou shalt not touch the Lord's anointed. Ah, that's Peter the rock. You must not touch him. Oh devil, no. No go to the devil. No, you can't touch that one. That one is special to God. That is the rock, Peter. How can you touch him? Quit that. Just pray for the faith of Peter. Oh Peter, let your faith stand in steadfastness. No matter the trial, let your faith not fail, and you will win. Isn't that wonderful? You win with your faith. So Daniel chapter 10, we all know the account, so let's get ready to pray. Daniel prayed. God sent an angel with the answer. But Daniel could not receive the answer on the first day that God sent it, because the devil hindered him. Let's put it that way. We all know the account, don't we? Okay, turn with me there quickly. You see, the angel that was bringing the answer could not pass through to Daniel because of the principality, the demonic spirit that was ruling over the atmosphere in that region. So that good angel couldn't pass through until God moved Archangel Michael to clear the way, and then the angel could get through to Daniel and explain what was happening. You see, Daniel didn't know what was happening in the spirit. He didn't know until the angel came on the 21st day and explained to him, I brought the answer to you on the first day, but I couldn't pass through because of a hindrance by the devil or Satan through the prince of Persia, the demonic principality in that region. So let's just look at that verse. And again, when you get home, please study it more closely, and you will understand it better. Hallelujah. So let's just pick the verse, maybe just from verse 12, so we can get a bit of context. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Hallelujah. For 21 days, there was an hindrance. But how did Daniel prevail against the prince of Persia? By continuing steadfastly in faith. Isn't that so? And I'm sure if the answer had not got to him on the 21st day, it would still have continued. That's all you need to do. Just continue to do what God says to do. Don't worry about the devil. God will take care of him for you. Don't let him distract you and get you to give up on what God says to do. God says, believe my word. Hope in my word. So you keep doing that, and God will take care of all the other aspects of the need for you. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. Hallelujah. Right where we are, let's commune with God. Just one-on-one with him. See, there are times when we just have to be one with the Lord. Thank God we come together in fellowship to encourage one another. And that is very important, because Jesus comes to fellowship all the time. It is very important. But we have to understand individual responsibility. That what we learn from the fellowship, what we receive from the fellowship, we have to individually apply to our lives. And if we don't understand that, we can come to fellowship, get a flow of the supply from the fellowship, and miss out on the personal application to our own individual lives and need. There's always responsibility, individual choices to make. And so right where you are, one-on-one with the Lord. Like Jacob was one-on-one with the Lord and wrestled with him and prevailed. Remember, he wasn't alone. He had his wives, his children, and all his servants, but he sent them ahead of him so that he could just be one with the Lord. There was a great need. There was fear to deal with in his heart. Fear of his brother. And he needed a change of heart. And he was with the Lord. And God turned everything around for him. Right where you are, one-on-one with the Lord. From your heart this morning. Turn with me your Bible right where you are to Isaiah chapter 62. And what you are going to do is just for a few seconds. Because prayers like this don't last long time. Because it is deep calling to the deep. It's the heart crying out to the heart of God. Your heart and the heart of God, connected together by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. It's not long prayer. No. You can see it as just a heart connection. Just connecting the plug together And it is the job of the Holy Spirit. If you are willing and obedient, he knows what to do. He knows what to do. He knows what to do. Because it is his own work. No man can do this. None of us has power to do this. Because we don't have the full knowledge of what needs to be done. But he knows. It's like the surgeon. He knows what to cut out of us. He knows how to do the transplant that is necessary in our lives to make us as perfect as we need to be. So as we turn to Isaiah 62, I want you one-on-one with the Lord to simply ask the Holy Spirit to do this in your life personally. And then you can do the same for your household. You see, God always loves to look after us and our households. When he called Noah, he saved him and his household. The people of Israel in the land of Egypt on the night of Passover, God looked after every household as they obeyed his voice. So God will look after your household and just release your faith, you know, to believe that he will touch you and your household and do this work in everyone that is right there in your household. In the name of Jesus, we give God all the glory. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 10. Let's read together first, and then we just reflect on that. Again, it's deep, calling to the deep. Just ask the Holy Spirit humbly and mean it with a sincere heart. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Gather out the stones. Gather out the things that are standing in the way. Gather them out of your heart, of your life, of all aspects of your existence. The Holy Spirit knows the stones. He knows the hindrances. He knows the heart of unbelief. He knows the heart of doubt and double-mindedness. He knows the selfishness and lusts in everyone's heart. He knows. He knows everything to do. He knows. And he also knows what the enemy is planning. And remember, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the one that restrains the devil. Because the greater one is the Holy Spirit. And so one-on-one, just humble yourself and ask the Holy Spirit in you to gather out the stones, every hindrance to your receiving the blessings of God in your life. Everything that stands in the way. Everything. Just ask him to do it. Ask him to do it. He's the one who sanctifies us. He's the Spirit of sanctification. It's not by human power. It's not by human might. None of us has power to change ourselves. None of us. I may stand here today and say, well, I'm going to be very patient. I'm not going to allow impatience to rule me. I'm a very patient person. But before the cock crows, I would have denied that three times. Three times. Not even once. I would have failed three times. Not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God. So when we come and we humble ourselves and we say, Holy Spirit, help me. Oh, gather out the stones out of my life. Gather them out. All that is standing in the way of God in my heart, in my soul, in all areas of my life. Gather them out. Purge me, oh Lord, and cleanse me of everything that is contrary. Then the flow of the blessings can come. Oh, he still knows how to clean the temple, you see. Jesus drove out all the money changers and all those that sold doves in the temple and kicked them out. And the temple was restored to the purpose of God. Bible says after that, people came in the temple and they were healed. Blessings began to come into the temple instead of the defilement of the enemy. Dear Lord, we thank you. This glorious morning, we bow our hearts before you because you say we should rend our hearts and not our garments. Gather out the stones out of all areas of our hearts and our lives. in the name of Jesus. That the blessings that God has for us may flow to us unhindered by anything in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing the work in us. For you are the one who is at work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We give all glory and honor and praise to you, dear Lord, now and always, in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands to God and thank him. Thank him. Thank him. It does the work in you. It does the work in me. And it gets the glory, and we have the joy. In Jesus' name.